Daniel chapter 11. As for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. Now I think that this is still the angel speaking from the end of chapter 10. When you're reading the Bible, you get to realize that sometimes the chapter divisions are just made by men, and they're sometimes not in the best place. So always look for the context. So this is an angel then saying, I stood up to confirm and strengthen Darius the Mede. So God doesn't force people, even Gentile unbelievers, to do what they don't want to do. But what he does do is to confirm and strengthen. And that's the same with us. On one hand, if it's just up to us, if you believe, then you shall be saved. And if you live a life in Christ, then you shall be saved, and if you don't, you will not. If it's just left like that, then salvation would be sort of human strength and human free will effort kind of thing. And yet, on the other hand, if God just picks up some random guy and makes him or her a believer, well, that also isn't quite right, is it? Because then the person is saved not because they believed. So in between those two extremes, there is God saying, look, you have got to wish to do this for yourself, but understand that your will is weak. He understands the weakness of the human will, and he will confirm and strengthen us in the way in which we wish to go. And that thought just shows how important is all human attitudes, behavior, what we want to do, because God will confirm and strengthen us in it. And this is what happened to Darius. So the angel goes on, now will I show you the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And when he has grown strong through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. Now, let's just think about Daniel, who was, as we know from Daniel chapter 9, waiting eagerly and enthusiastically for the kingdom of God to be reestablished right there in his lifetime. And he's now an old man. And he was obviously hoping that now that Darius the Mede had taken over from Babylon, that, you know, this is now going to happen. That Jeremiah's prophecies of the 70 years would be true and would come to completion. But God says to him in Daniel 9 that, well, basically, no, because Judah had not repented generally, therefore the 70 years gets turned into a 70-week prophecy. In other words, it's all going to be somewhat delayed compared to what could have happened if they had repented and enthusiastically returned from exile as God asked them to in the prophets. So when the angel says to Daniel, look, I'm going to show you the truth now. There's going to be another three kings to come in Persia after Darius. Oh, Daniel would have thought, oh, no, so that means I'm going to die, right, and not see it. And yes, that is what was going to happen. But he's comforted at several points in the prophecy, and particularly in chapter 12, that that's okay, Daniel. You will be resurrected. Don't worry. And yet, of course, like all of us, he wanted Jesus to come, as it were, like we want Jesus to come in our lifetime. So he wanted the kingdom of God to be established in his lifetime. So he's now given a long, detailed description of the conflict that there was going to be between the two halves of the empire that arose really after the time of Alexander the Great, between the king of the south and the king of the north. And it was all going to sway backwards and forwards until you come to verse 40. At the time of the end shall the king of the south contend with him, as the king of the north, and the king of the north will come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. He shall enter into the countries, shall overflow and pass through. He shall also come into the glorious land, that's Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall be delivered out of his hand, Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand also on the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. So, this king of the north is going to be very successful in the last days, at the time of the end. He's not going to touch Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon, but he's going to have Egypt and North Africa behind him. He's going to have a lot of wealth and a lot of power. He's going to dominate the Middle East, including the glorious land, Israel. Now, we're still waiting for this to happen. Who is the king of the north? Well, we don't know exactly, but the king of the north is a term used in the Bible about all sorts of enemies of Israel, Assyria, Babylon, whatever. So there will be some charismatic leader called the king of the north, called in Ezekiel 38, Gog, who is going to be the great leader of this northern confederacy that comes and dominates for a brief time the Middle East, including Israel. And you can sort of see that coming about now. Let's read on. But news out of the east and out of the north will trouble him, and he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and devote many to destruction. He shall plant the tents of his palace between the sea, I take that to be the Mediterranean, and the glorious holy mountain, that's Mount Zion, the Temple Mount. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And when you now go on into chapter 12, this is clearly talking about the time of the coming of Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. So there is going to be an invasion of Israel, which for a brief time is going to be successful. So many of the Bible prophecies require this, and they say that at that time, you go on in chapter 12, it says that at this time, then there's going to be this direct intervention by God, and Jesus will come and establish the kingdom on the earth. So then, when you look at what's going on in the Middle East, you can see that there is the scene is being set, and these things are going to happen. Israel in its present form is not going to go on forever. There is going to be an invasion that is going to be successful for a brief time. Told in Zechariah, the city of Jerusalem will be taken, and then the Mount of Olives will divide, Jesus will come back to the Mount of Olives where he left from, and the kingdom of God will be established. So we can see things starting to all come together. And whether or not Jesus comes in our lifetime, as Daniel had to learn, it is not the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing is to have the hope of resurrection from the dead and to abide in Jesus all our lives, so that when he comes, we shall be resurrected and we shall be there in his kingdom.